This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line podcast network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Coach, it's been fun watching Daniel thrive under the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, you think about what they did at the trade deadline, getting him and P.J. Washington, different basketball team. What it's been like watching Daniel grow as a basketball player and thrive in the highest competition possible?
Well, I'll tell you, it's just been amazing watching him. Daniel, the thing I can tell you about Daniel is he hadn't changed since he was in high school. I mean, when people interviewed him his 10th, 11th grade year, he was humble. It's all about his teammates, all about his team, and the kid hadn't changed since then. Old coach can text him on one night, and within a couple hours he'll hit you with a text back. He's just the same humble kid he was growing up in El Dorado, but boy, he's brought his game to a completely different level, and I can't wait to see what he's going to do with his team, when you've got him for a full year.
So you mentioned him being the same. What do you remember about the first time that you met him, Coach?
Well, he was at Barton Junior High, and I had a assistant coach who was my eighth grade coach that texted me and said, hey, we have a 6'6 guy that's walking around carrying a tuba or a clarinet or, he played a bunch of different stuff. He's very talented. You ought to hear him play the drums, but, called me and said, hey, he's in October. Hey, I got the 6'6 kid walking around. Can we do a late tryout? And I said, of course we can for a 6'6 eighth grader. But, Daniel was, Daniel never played before. A lot of people think that Daniel probably grew up in the AAU system and all that stuff. That wasn't until about his 10th grade year when he finally got noticed and was able to pick up and do some stuff like that. But, he was just, his footwork, he was kind of clumsy. He was athletic. I had some good guards with that team his 8th grade year. We just told them to go shoot and let him go get it off the rim. That way he's catching, facing.
Yeah. Coach, I remember watching Daniel play. I think it was his junior year, you can correct me, in the state tournament at Lake Hamilton. And the height obviously stood out, but he hadn't filled out physically at that point. I mean, if he turned sideways, you could lose him. Where did the real physical development begin? Was it in El Dorado, or did you see the filling out when he got to Fayetteville?
I saw him start to fill out after his freshman year at Fayetteville. I mean, you could see a difference in him in that freshman year. Besides the, we tried best we could to put weight on him, and, I tried to stay in touch. I wasn't a professional strength coach by any means, but, I tried to stay in touch with strength coach there in Fayetteville and other colleges, and I mean, we did lift you around at El Dorado, but we just couldn't get any weight on him. I mean, he was so energetic, he'd leave, you know, he'd leave practice, go home and, you know, probably grab a double cheeseburger and some fries right there by his house and probably hit the court again. And, you know, it was just hard to put weight on him.
Yeah. I remember, you know, just watching him through his time with you and then also at Arkansas. I always thought one of his greatest strengths as a big man was his ability in transition to move the floor as quick as, you know, a lot of the threes and fours a lot of times on the floor. Had he always had that ability to move? And because I think that's been one of his greatest assets as a pro is his ability to get end to end.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, we were blessed at the time not just to have Daniel, but we had a couple of really good guards that played with him. And you know, if Daniel wanted the ball, he had to run because they were going to go down and whip somebody one-on-one and go to the basket. And, you know, we just tried to emphasize to him, hey, get rim to rim, Daniel. Just run rim to rim the whole time. And funny you say that. We were watching some of my eighth grade kids wanted to see some old clips of him. And we were watching a game against Little Rock Hall where he blocked a shot. Or excuse me, he got down and got an alley-oop dunk on one end. And they pushed the ball back and he sprinted to the other end after his dunk and pinned his shot off the glass and gave a good outlet. You know, I mean,
yeah. Just,
you know, you see stuff like that all the time from him. He just, you know, he just outworked people a lot of times.
That reminds me of the Vanderbilt play in the SEC tournament where he swatted some dude's shot and then did like a windmill basically. That sounds very similar from his high school and college
time. Yeah, it was crazy. There's one clip, you got to look it up sometimes on YouTube. We had played the Queen, and we were up pretty good against them in senior year. And we had about five or six turnovers, and we're up like 30-1 or something like that. But I called time out just kind of angry because we're getting ready to go to the state tournament, you know, in a couple weeks. And I thought they were being a little, you know, a little wild with their passes and stuff. And I said, all right. I said, next person throws an alley-oop pass, you're benched. Well, he blocks a shot, gets out on the floor, and one of my guards threw him an alley-oop bounce pass off the floor. He bounced it off the floor, and it was an awful pass, but it looked like Daniel reached all the way back to his apartment complex, said, hey, good deal, and dunked that thing. It was on the highlights, you know, for a long time. But, yeah, I mean, he just, multiple times during his career, he'd get swat and run the floor. He did the same thing in ninth grade.
Yeah. For you personally to watch that, I know the finals didn't turn out maybe the way a lot of us wanted, but to watch his career, what's that meant to you personally to know you had a part in it, in his development and just watching someone that you've coached reach the highest heights of professional basketball?
You know, to be honest with you, I'm still getting used to it. I can remember, you know, his freshman year when after his freshman year, we were at team camp in Fayetteville, and he asked for a ride. He asked me to ride the bus with us back home. And they had just flown back in from getting beat in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, we talked all the way home and, you know, about, man, am I going to go pro here? You know, am I going to wait? And we told him to pray about it, do what he thought is best for him. And, you know, at the time he said, you know, I think I need another year with Coach A before I'm ready to go. And although it cost him, you know, probably cost him some money, I think, you know, Daniel's made some really good decisions moving forward, and Coach has been in his corner. And, you know, to be honest, I'm just amazed every time I watch him play now. It's, you know, to see him on the NBA or see him get interviewed by the NBA announcers and stuff, it's incredible.
We're talking with Coach Gary Simmons, Grimsley Junior High, former El Dorado High School basketball coach here on the McCarty Daniel Hotline. You mentioned him talking, like, on with the guys Chuck and Shaq and Kenny and EJ, mentioning Hagen Hill. I mean, you brought up the burger place, so I'm assuming you're talking about Flying Burger. What's that like watching Arkansas get represented by a guy that is doing it in the best way possible?
Hey, I was born in Northwest Arkansas and raised in Northwest Arkansas in Mountainburg, and my dad was a coach for years and was a good friend of Eddie Sutton. And I can still remember going up when I was young to camp up there, going up watching practice with dad. And so, you know, I bled Arkansas red. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's an amazing feeling to see, you know, any Razorback go to the pro and do well. I date back to watching Sidney Moncrief win Defensive Player of the Year. So, you know, until Daniel came around, he was my favorite Razorback, you know. So, it's just, you know, being from Arkansas, there's not, in the way everybody else is representing Arkansas, you know, not just the university, but, you know, you've got some guys coming through that, you know, we played against a couple of those guys from North Little Rock when I was at Aredo, and just seeing all those guys, you know, I kind of stopped keeping up with the NBA after Jordan and after Kobe, and then, you know, when those guys start getting in, you can't help but get on ESPN and look and see how they're doing. So, you know, I'm very proud of these guys being from Arkansas and having that Arkansas heritage.
You mentioned being from Northwest Arkansas. You're also coaching in Northwest Arkansas. Coach, tell us about the growth that has helped basketball high school and junior high ranks in NWA.
Well, I've just been back, I call it home. I've just been back home in Northwest Arkansas since right after 2020 when I left El Dorado to try to get close to my dad whose health was failing. And Coach Greg White at West offered me the chance to open up this junior high job at Grimsley when they first opened. And I tell you, I'm very impressed being up here in junior high, seeing the level of coaches as far as, you know, kids are fundamentally sound, the AAO influence up here, you know, getting kids in the gym, you know, all the AAU and then the high school, you know, the 6A, you know, when you start talking about basketball conferences around the state, you know, and, you know, I've always been Central Arkansas and Southern Arkansas when I was coaching, but, you know, when you look at, you know, coaches like Greg White, you know, Coach Stamps, Coach Owen at Heritage has, you know, been doing it for a long time. These guys do it right, and, you know, the level of play is just going to keep getting better.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
At Planet Fitness, a lot has changed since 1998, but our membership has always been just $10 a month. On June 28th, that rate will increase to $15 a month for new members. So if you've been thinking about joining, now is the perfect time to lock in $10 a month for good. Once you join, your rate will never increase for the life of your membership. Enjoy free fitness training and equipment for every workout, all in the judgment-free zone for $10 a month. Don't miss out. Offer ends Thursday, June 27th. Rejoining after cancellation will result in change in membership price. See club for details.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you ready to give your family the best 4th of July experience yet? USA Fireworks wants to make that happen. Go to hitthatline.com/USAFireworks and enter for your chance to win a $1,000 fireworks show. It's $1,000 wholesale fireworks worth more than $2,000 retail. Again, hitthatline.com/USAFireworks. The USA Fireworks banging giveaway, courtesy of USA Fireworks, ESPN Arkansas, and hitthatline.com.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McCarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
So we mentioned LSU baseball, not in the College World Series. We also should mention Bruce Stanton, who usually joins us at this time, is fishing right now up near the Canadian and United States border. Yeah, St. Lawrence. If anyone wants to tell us where the St. Lawrence River is, feel free to.
Phone that'll tell us.
Yeah, you can look that up real quick. All right, so what's going on in Omaha? All right, last night, and I guess yesterday, A&M defeats Kentucky 5-1. The Wildcats on the brink of elimination. They will take on the Florida Gators later on at 6, and then the Florida State Seminoles and North Carolina, one ACC team going home later on at 1 o'clock today as the Gators eliminated NC State 5-4 last night. So you had one good game, and really it was another good game. It just took a while for either team to get going. A&M did not score until the 6th inning yesterday, but that is what's going on in Omaha. Nebraska right now, Tennessee, Texas A&M awaiting who they will face in their upcoming semifinal matchups for a chance to go to the College World Series finals.
Any guess from you what state the St. Lawrence River may touch in the international river that's there?
And what great one lake? Guess?
Yeah.
Lake Michigan? So Michigan?
Nope, it's Lake Ontario.
Lake Ontario, okay. So I was, what was the...
what's New
the
York.
Yeah.
It's in the New York area.
Okay. St. Lawrence, New York. Well, Bruce is up in the Northeast. Hopefully, I guess Arkansas basketball will be there.
In the Ontario, Quebec provinces.
That's Ontario, Quebec provinces. Okay. Provinces. Okay.
That's two different ones.
Yeah. That is the that is where our buddy Bruce Stanton is fishing. A couple fish he was able to get. I know he's happy about his Tennessee Volunteers, who are not only in good position right now in actual baseball side, but they are leading the Jello Shots Challenge, Tommy, because a gas station out of Knoxville, have you ever heard of Weigel's, bought $50,000 worth of Jello Shots.
Wow.
So they are
this is the well greatest the scam in sports.
They donate. I will say
this is the greatest deal ever.
I forget the Kevin is the owner of Rockies and Lefties, two places there, but they donate a lot of those proceeds to charity. So there mm-hmm. actually is some good causes behind this, but I
they donate a lot of proceeds to their probably mortgages and their bills too,
and a lot.
And I don't blame them,
and a lot of their.
I'm not calling them out. I'm envious. I would love to come up with a scam that is just built in every year, where people are just going to throw hundreds of dollars at me for no good reason other than just pride, just pride in my team.
The competition.
I'm going to prove my team's better by buying more shots. I mean, this is unbelievable.
And Arkansas fans love to compete in this thing when they get there. Did not make it there this year. Unfortunately, but that is what's going on. Tennessee, I mean, we kind of mentioned this in hour number one. Tennessee and A&M, great setup for both those squads right now. A&M's going to have to beat an SEC opponent, most likely. I say most likely. They're going to have to beat an SEC opponent to get to the final, but regardless of what happens, Tommy, an SEC team will be represented. It's either going to be Florida, Kentucky, or A&M, and then the possibility of Tennessee and Florida State.
In all likelihood, it's Tennessee and A&M, just based on,
yes.
Two teams are going home today. One of the ACC teams, one of the SEC teams going home, 1 o'clock today for the start of the two games, two elimination games today. So we'll be down to, four teams, two on either side of the bracket. They'll play their way out. Somebody's going to have to beat Tennessee or A&M twice. Not very likely, I don't think.
And the setup, again, we mentioned this earlier in hour one, our CJ's Trivia Tuesday question was, what was the one year that the SEC was not involved in the College World Series final since 2008? 2016 when Coastal Carolina beat Arizona for the national championship. So like in football, the dominance has been basically two decades where an SEC team has just continuously been involved. Not always won, but been involved. I think the SEC streak since a team has been as won the national championship, I think it's 2017, if I remember that right. So there's, and on the West side, we'll see if the West streak continues, if A&M's gonna win. I mean, I would honestly, I know people hate Tennessee. If I had to rank, there's four SEC teams left, right? I would still put Kentucky at the team I'd want to win if there's an SEC team the most, followed by A&M, followed by Florida, followed by Tennessee. Just don't want Tennessee. Love you, Bruce. Just don't want Tennessee to win this thing. I think it would kill Arkansas fans to watch Tony Vitello walk away with that trophy and Tennessee, a baseball program that has no history whatsoever, to take that championship.
But let's talk reality, and it's probably, I mean, putting a percentage chance on it, the likelihood of A&M or Tennessee winning the national title is about 80%, I'd say, at this point. Maybe stronger. I mean, if they put, you know, actual ESPN, BPI, pen to paper, it's going to be somewhere in that range. Very strong. Which of those two would you rather win, Tennessee or A&M?
A&M.
You compete more for kids. I know Arkansas recruits nationally, but you're going to compete more for players against A&M than Tennessee.
I guess, but you
I mean, either way, you're going to have a first-time national champion.
Yeah.
I mean, and to me, that just continues to encourage me as a Razorback fan. You just got to wait your turn. I mean, we've seen
the West, four straight West teams, and A&M's the one.
Well, we're not going to have a West anymore, but yeah, I mean, we continue to see different schools emerge, I think, which A, proves the strength of this league, but there's a darn good chance we're going to see a 95% chance we're going to see a first-time SEC champion, because the only previous national champion there is Florida, and that's not happening.
I have gotten a sense, and I could be wrong, but I don't think I am, on the McCarty Daniel hotline, that the least team that you want to win is Tennessee, from our listeners. Okay. That is the team that people, I get where you're coming from, but I mean, Arkansas.
And maybe I'm putting too much of a football hat on that. I know Dave recruits nationally.
And that's, yeah.
But
I don't think you're restricted by bordering states.
No, but I think all you got to do is drive around Fayetteville to see all the Texas tags in Fayetteville. It's not an unpopular place in Texas for people to come to college.
No question, yeah.
And so, I mean, the idea that you'd go down there and recruit players is, you're more likely there than in Tennessee's footprint, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, you've got Heston's one of the more notable kids, Hagan Smith, Bullard, Texas. I mean, there's plenty of kids that you can just rattle off pretty quickly that are from the Lone Star State, but I don't think Arkansas is bound by that. And I will say this, I remember asking Dave last year, kind of his postseason press conferences, I was like, hey, three straight West teams have won a national championship. Does that make it any more difficult for you to recruit? And he actually answered, I'm forgetting entirely what he said, but he gave a pretty eloquent response, and I thought it was measured, and it wasn't one of those things where he brushed it off or anything. But I just don't think it's in baseball. I think the case that you're making is accurate in football. I just don't think it holds much weight in baseball.
You may be right on that, but, you know, I would just soon see Tennessee win it as someone that you have a much deeper history with in A&M. I don't want to get the fire started on A&M winning championships. I think the recruiting grounds in Texas speak for themselves versus what Tennessee has to overcome in all the other sports. And I don't want anything to get a fire started with the A&M program.
Well, Schlossnagel's a really good coach. 2 years or 3 years, two College World Series appearances, maybe making a finals. That could be, again, getting the monkey off their back in College Station. And he's old. He's not really, he doesn't fit the A&M mold, right? He's old school. He's a guy that's won a lot of college baseball over the years. I don't know if I'd necessarily put him in the same line of, like, he's more, not blue collar, but he is not in the same like lineage as certain A&M coaches that you think of in football or basketball. He's different, and that's possibly why they're going to win the national championship.
And he's a good coach, and if, you know, if the job will come open at Arkansas someday, if he was on that list, that wouldn't make me mad. I mean, he's a darn good baseball man.
Brian is in Ozark this morning on the McCarty Dana Hotline. Brian, who is Texas going to hire if they let their current baseball coach go?
You know, not sure. I know they were talking to the LSU coach a little bit, but I don't believe that's who it will be. I think it'd be Dave Van Horn.
Oh, get out of here.
I mean, that's not going to happen. But anyways, I have no doubt that they're going to hire one of the best of the best, wherever he comes from. But I want to chime in. Y'all were talking about all the kids at University of Arkansas from Texas. Do you know why that is?
The tuition?
Yeah. It's a whole lot cheaper compared to the University of Texas. Like about a third or a fourth the price.
Yeah, they
live in University of Texas.
For those that don't know, if you live in Texas, you can get in-state tuition.
It's like up to 90%.
Huge discount.
Mm-hmm, for any bordering state.
Yeah, and that's a good deal for Arkansas. I mean, it definitely draws a lot of kids. But I just wanted to ask a question, I'd like to see Arkansas do well in football. But here's what I'm looking at. You know, you got Texas and Oklahoma coming in, and they're loaded with talent. For instance, Texas just got the number two quarterback, 2026, and I believe his name is Dia Bell. His father was a long-term NBA guy. But, I mean, how does Arkansas recruit against that? I mean, Texas, Oklahoma, and all these other top schools to be able to win the SEC.
That's a fair question to ask, and Melvin was kind of asking earlier. Brian, appreciate the call. So you have to, in terms of talent development on this campus here in Fayetteville in football, like basketball, Cal's going to be able to go get and pretty much be involved every top recruit in the country. Dave Van Horn is going to be involved. So they don't go to the MLB draft like some of the guys that he's currently got in this upcoming high school class, good chance he gets those guys to campus. Can't say that about football. Arkansas's got a massive Thursday ahead of them. Number one interior lineman in the state, one of the best in the country, Carius Kern, Marion kid, is going to recommit either to Arkansas or he's going to pick LSU or Missouri. That is a huge day for the Arkansas Razorbacks. It's an in-state kid. I know he's on the eastern part of our state. You got to find a way to land this kid. You as a program are always going to be at a disadvantage because of the lack of high school talent in this state. It's just how it is. You don't have the same national brand like you did when Frank was here, even when Ken Hatfield was still here, Holtz to a certain extent. So you have to find the diamonds in the rough like we always talk about and develop kids when they get to campus. That hasn't happened. And like when you do get an in-state kid, like an All-American wide receiver in Treylon Burks, you're going to have success when you have that in-state kid that is a world beater. It's just, I mean, Burks, that was like a once every 10-year type of kid. And we've seen some really talented players come out of Warren, Arkansas, but it's nothing new for that football coach at Arkansas. It's just what you have to deal with being at that position, I think.
Comes in waves. That's what I've noticed. Bobby Petrino arrived at a time as the head coach where there was a great wave of talent moving through our state, and it doesn't happen every year, but there are cycles where sometimes it occurs in a class or two. Sometimes it's spread out over two or three. You've got one coming, I believe, in a year or two with this, what would be 26 class, led by Kane Archer. And I think you've got some kids, and then you've noticed there's some players that have moved into Greenwood. I think there's a chance to make that class not just in-state, but some out-of-state players, the one that can maybe turn it around. I mean, we'll just have to wait and see where he chooses to go to school. But I think there's potential for that 26 class, along with some good transfer portal players, to maybe get you back on solid footing.
Talent likes to play with talent. I still remember a story that Corliss Williamson told about Scotty Thurman and how they were at this camp together, and Scotty asked him, hey, where are you going to school? Like, well, I'm going to Arkansas. And I don't know how high up the Razorbacks were on Scotty's list, kid from Ruston, but he landed in Fayetteville, hit the biggest shot in the history of our basketball program. Talented players like to play with talented players. Kane has a reputation playing travel ball, being a highly recruited, not just in-state player, but one of the better quarterbacks in the country. Obviously got enough of a reputation to get guys to transfer. Because I think a kid moved from Nebraska. I think a kid moved from Dallas. And I think there's one other kid that moved from somewhere else. Plus, you've got, and I'm blanking on the offensive lineman that won the Tickburger contest last year. Somewhat Greenwood people helped me out on that left tackle. But you've got a lot of talent in Greenwood, and we've seen it come in waves with Brandon Drew Morgan, with Tyler Wilson, who's the wide receiver, the Greenwood wide receiver that I'm blanking on from like 06, Lucas Miller.
Okay.
So you've seen talent come out of that program, and you're hoping that Cash goes to Fayetteville, Kane goes to Fayetteville, maybe another kid on that roster goes to Fayetteville. I don't know if it's necessarily the equivalent of the Springdale 5, but they're probably going to run through the 6A this year and end up winning the state championship again. You've got, when you have in-state talent like Kern, like Archers, like these kids, you can't let them get out of state. They don't have the, there's not as much brand loyalty anymore. You have to keep these kids in state by any means necessary. If you aren't able to, you're probably not going to have a successful football program.
Yeah, and I think that's the moment where, you know, Sam Pittman, if he can clear the hurdle this year or however this unfolds, that's the class that I think can potentially help you establish some things moving forward at Arkansas.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
So I mentioned Carrius Kern deciding where he's going to go to school. He is either going to recommit potentially to the Arkansas Razorbacks at 11 o'clock this Thursday or commit to the LSU Tigers or Missouri Tigers. We'll have to wait and see what the Marion standout decides to do. This guy plays offense and defensive line. I think he's going to be projected more of an offensive line guy in high school. You hope he doesn't go to an SEC rival, but that's just kind of what you have to deal with. Even in-state guys, I always got to fend off those other bordering states, particularly ones that you have to deal with within your conference.
Yeah, and, you know, this is part of it as we move forward in this portal world. I'm just interested to see, particularly when we get to this point we talked about earlier where, you know, $20-plus million is going to be spread out amongst your athletes, how all of this changes. Do kids become more loyal? Does the nature of athletics change to the point where we see some of this bouncing around settle down? And how does recruiting change as a result? These are all interesting things to see how it evolves over the next 3 to 5 years.
And I would think if you're getting similar money, and I'm not talking about maybe a difference of 100 grand or 200 grand, whatever, but if you're getting like in that same ballpark, I would think you would, if you're going to get similar money, you're probably going to go to the in-state school or the school that you grew up a fan of. And I have no idea if Carrius grew up a fan of Arkansas or not, to be blunt. But you hope that's the case with the new NIL structure, that it's at least being presented when it comes to this these lawsuits being settled.
What are the rules that go along with the new age or the new era that's coming? Those are the things we don't know. What will hold up in court? What collective bargaining needs to occur? You know, there's a million questions that we don't have answers to, but will all have to be answered as we move forward that change a lot of the narratives and the things we've talked about for decades now.
Yep. Last night, an Arkansas Razorback won the NBA Finals. Jordan just has one thing on his mind.
All right, y'all. We did it one time. What are we going to do? Run it back.
Can the Boston Celtics continue to have dominance amongst the NBA? The all-time leader right now in NBA Finals rings. 18 total championships for the Celtics. You think about the different the dynasties that they've had during the course of that franchise's history. The legendary coaches like Red Auerbach that have walked up and down. I guess it used to be the Boston Garden, now TD Garden. Jordan, again, I'm happy for him. A kid that was drafted in the second round from the Arkansas Razorbacks, and now less than a year later finds himself an NBA champion, basically.
Yeah, and, you know, they always say the first one's the hardest one, and obviously this is the 18th for the Celtics, but the first for this group and this group of Celtics. Does this open the floodgates? Could they become a dynasty? Could they win three of the next five? Could they win two in a row? Two in a row doesn't make you a dynasty, but I think three of five does. How dangerous are they moving through the next four seasons?
What's the dynamic of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum? Does Brown or Tatum's ego get in the way of the ultimate success? I mean, when you've got two superstars like them and Jaylen Brown rightfully won the finals MVP, people think...
Can they both make the max? I don't know the structures as well as you do.
Yeah, they can. I can't remember their current contract situations right now, but it's, I mean, the amount of money that both those guys, deservedly so. I mean, one's 26, one's 27. They're in the prime of their careers right now. It might be 25 and 26.
And the more your franchise pays, just you pay it back in luxury tax, right, to the other teams? Is that how it still works? I believe that's
we're getting
right.
into waters that right. I'm starting to drift away from
Sorry.
A little bit. No, you're good. But yeah, they hopefully Jordan is a piece of that puzzle for years to come. They've got a lot of really quality pieces in that organization, and just hoping Jordan gets a crack at the rotation at some point down the road. All right, last thing. Arkansas has had a portal transfer. Jason Jones has entered the portal, according to D1 Baseball. I think Hunter Grimes did too. I don't remember the timeline on that. But that is the Jones is the latest one, a guy that played a little bit in left field, got a crack a little bit. They just never really figured out who was going to be in that solidified role this year. So Arkansas was one of the like last eight teams standing without a portal transfer. Now it's happened. I don't think you mentioned the floodgates.
It's inevitable.
Yeah, the floodgates I don't think are going to open like maybe it will for Boston and winning NBA championships, but yet this was going to happen at some point in time.
Yeah, and these are players that, you know, you're looking to upgrade the spots on your roster. I mean, players leave, and obviously you want to get stronger in places. It's going to be hard with a guy like Hagan Smith, but, you know, when you look across your roster, these guys want to play. May not work out for them here at Arkansas. You know, you'd love to have been a fly on the wall for some of those conversations when they had that with their coaches and Dave Van Horn.
Yep. That is your Hog Update this morning, brought to you by our friends at Mr. Sparky.
You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8-SPARKY.
I think most, if not all of us, have seen The Sandlot. And we were talking about earlier with our USA Fireworks giveaway. When I think about fireworks, that's one of the scenes in movies I remember. You remember Smalls, the character in Sandlot,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, I mean, I think most of us have heard this phrase.
You're killing me, Smalls.
I think we've said it a time or two during the course of our life. Well, the actor that played him, Tom Gurry, I think it's how you say his name, was arrested and charged with assault, disorderly conduct, and malicious damage after allegedly, caught on video, so I don't know how it's allegedly, throwing a dumbbell in the windshield of a neighbor's Jeep.
Wow.
This incident occurred on June the 2nd, so about 2 weeks ago. He was also allegedly approached the neighbor's doorbell while holding a knife. Now, he has been in the, not limelight, but the spotlight for a wrong reason before. He was previously arrested in 2013 at a Houston airport after allegedly headbutting a police officer after being told he was too intoxicated to board a flight. So Smalls, apparently not a...
You're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah.
Not the best in the public presence. I'm
going to go out on a limb and say alcohol was involved in this particular incident.
You could be right. I don't know how it's alleged.
I'm going to say there's a pattern here.
Yeah, from time to time.
You're killing me, Smalls.
I just think about when you're a kid and you're in the spotlight, in the limelight, and you're praised and you're given all these things as a youngster. I know there's parents out there and there's structure in place to make sure it doesn't go to your head, but sometimes it just does. And maybe that's happened in this situation. I think all of us have anger issues to a certain degree. And evidently his have come and boiled over in certain situations. But yeah, Smalls in the newspaper, I guess on the television screen for the wrong sort of things. I don't remember. I'm going to be honest. I can't remember the last time I've watched The Sandlot. But since we're approaching 4th of July and this story came up, I need to, I guess, watch it. I don't ever rent movies online. I just try and find the streaming service that has them for free. Surely there's a streaming service that currently has...
I would think that movie would be old enough. Of course, if you want to watch something new, you know, you're going to have to pay the money.
Yeah, and I looked at a movie, the movie theater...
Oh, what's the name of that new Kevin Costner series that starts? It comes out in a week or so. There's not many things that'll drag me to the theater, so
Somebody help me out on the text line. But there's they ran an ad for it in last night's game, but I'm very interested in seeing that.
Think it's going to be better than Yellowstone?
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, they're two different things. But I like Kevin Costner stuff.
Yeah, he knows. He's a great actor. Bull Durham, Tin Cup, The Guardians, one of my favorite father-son movies. It's a great Father's Day weekend if you haven't seen it. It's got him and I guess it was Ashton Kutcher. But, yeah, he's a great actor and someone that you definitely want to meet someday. That'd be cool to check that off the list.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift, selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
Here's an interesting tidbit as we get started. This morning, Arkansas is tied with the Kansas Jayhawks for the fifth most players in the NBA right now. Pretty remarkable. That's a credit to Eric Musselman. That's a credit to the in-state talent here. And hopefully, John Calipari adds to that list. The number of Kentucky players we know is numerous. I think they're number one, if I remember that list right. But one of those players being Jordan Walsh, Christian now, as of last night, an NBA champion.
Yes, sir, he is. Daniel Gafford finished last night's game with 6 points and 3 rebounds in the Mavericks' 106-88 loss to the Celtics. And as you just said, Ty, Jordan Walsh didn't play, but he got him a ring.
Yep. Daniel Gafford, another highlight reel last night.
If the Mavericks try and take advantage, get Gafford involved right there on cue, throws it down.
For some reason, Jason Kidd, during this series, elected to go with Lively a lot of the times. I mean, Daniel would get just over double-digit minutes. I don't know if that's going to change. I know Lively's a good player out of Duke, but hoping Daniel gets some more minutes in the playoffs this upcoming season, because that seemed to happen more often than not when it comes to their big man rotation.
All right, jumping over to the MLB, Andrew Benintendi, in his last game June 14th against Arizona, had 2 hits and scored a run for the White Sox. Isaiah Campbell for the Red Sox last pitched on April 11th against the Orioles. He went 1 1/3 of an inning, surrendering 4 hits and giving up 5 runs. He had 1 strikeout and a walk and got credited with the loss. Dominic Fletcher, who is also on the White Sox, last played on June 2nd against the Brewers in 2 plate appearances. He walked and struck out. James McCann for the Orioles had 1 hit in 4 at-bats on June 14th against the Phillies. Drew Smyly for the Cubs last pitched on June 16th against the Cardinals. He went 2 innings, allowed 2 hits, and struck out 2 batters. Ryan Stanek for the Mariners last pitched June 15th against the Rangers and got the save. He pitched 1/3 of an inning and allowed 1 hit.
So something to keep an eye on, because you just listed off a bunch of MLB players currently for Arkansas right now. You've got some guys that you think at some point will get called up to the majors. The MLB draft is less than a month from today, and Dave Van Horn talked about in the post-game press conference following the loss to SEMO about how they had some guys drafted. I don't know if you expect some guys that they expected to fill roles and weren't able to because they stayed in. Arkansas has some highly touted, highly recruited players that have at least signed. But as we know, in college baseball, it's something that those coaches have to deal with that basketball and football, for the most part, don't have to deal with. So that is something to keep an eye on, just which guys of Arkansas's class will stay in the draft and which guys will ultimately sign with Arkansas and stay on campus, not just sign, but actually come to campus.
That's the hardest part for Dave, right? Is figuring that out. And that's, I don't want to say what doomed his season this past year, but he spoke later in the year and at the end of the year about, the difficulty of trying to replace, 4 elite high school players that, what was it, $11 million or whatever it was, the 4 of them combined to get. You can't compete with that. And, when you plan for one thing and get another, it changes things.
Now, let's talk to Tom Murphy on the Morning Rush.
Tom, the Boston Celtics win number 18, most in NBA history. You think about the New York Yankees, they have, 27 World Series titles. UConn women's basketball under Geno, UCLA under John Wooden. When you think about best franchises or best college programs in sports, what is one that you think stands out maybe amongst the rest?
Morning, Ty. Good to be with you guys as always. The Celtics are way up there. They've not always been my favorite. As a Hawks fan, we had a crushing loss to them in the playoffs in 80-something, that Dominique Wilkins and Larry Bird, the big shootout. And so, I don't know, I always kind of felt like they got some calls and stuff like that along the way. But you can't deny their greatness. And I guess this breaks a tie with the Lakers, maybe, with the 18th. So, good on them. They were the best team throughout the entire season, and they proved that in the playoffs with only 3 losses. They would rank way up there. I mean, you can't think of any NFL. The Patriots of the recent last 20 years or so, the Patriots would come the closest. And but no, the Celtics certainly are in pro franchises among just the icons.
And Tom, a lot of times in the NBA or the NFL, the number one seed not only reaches it to the pinnacle, to a championship, but wins it. That has not happened in college baseball since 1999 when Miami did it. Tennessee is in the semis right now. They're waiting on who their ACC opponent's going to be, either Florida State or North Carolina. How confident are you that Tennessee is the first college baseball team to break that curse in 25 years?
Fairly confident. Last week, before this all started, I thought, and I know it was the odds-on favorites, but I thought Tennessee and Texas A&M would advance, and now they're obviously in the best position to do so. Tennessee has just got a little bit of an it factor to them. They've got depth throughout their lineup. They've got some really hot guys like Christian Moore. Hitting for the cycle and in the Florida State game, and basically should have lost it, and then hit a double in the 9th inning too. So I thought the check swing on Blake Burke, I thought he went. I thought he committed to the swing. I thought his bat went beyond the plate, and that would have ended the game. But it didn't, and they lived on and capitalized and won the game from there. And it basically set them on a path to get there. The fact that 2 years ago they had their Arkansas 2021, 2 years ago. They were the dominant team. They rolled through the SEC. I think they won the tournament as well, number one seed, and to be beaten by Notre Dame at home the way they were, I think that's kind of fueled this team's run, even though not a whole lot of overlapping guys. But I just feel like their depth of pitching, the fact that they're getting clutch hitting up and down their order, bodes well for them as they move forward.
And I think when talking about Tennessee and you look at Tony Vitello's speech following the Super Regional, and I think trying to eradicate this thought of a one seed can't win it, using his time in front of the media to almost turn his team as a one seed into an underdog and an us against the world mentality. he seems to have a pretty good pulse on his team right now. And so far, sitting at 2-0 in Omaha, it seems to all be coming up roses right now for Tony V.
No doubt. Tony won a lot of admirers for what he said after that. And I already like Tony, but that put him in a different stratosphere. He's very interesting. You see very few coaches who have the introspection and the way they talk to the media. They almost like, he says things and goes, well, I know how you're going to interpret that, so this is what I mean. And it's just very interesting. And he's got a head coaching job at a young enough age that he can really, really build a legacy. And is that going to be all at Tennessee? Is that going to be Tennessee and somewhere else in the future? We don't know. But he's got a real chance to put his name, to stamp his name in college baseball, like his mentor, Dave Van Horn, has.
Yeah, we were discussing earlier, you know, the likelihood of A&M and Tennessee playing in the championship series is pretty high right now, just based on where they sit at 2-0. If you had to pick one or the other to win based on what's best for Arkansas, it's recruiting, Dave Van Horn, do you come down one side or the other that, hey, this would be a better deal if this team won versus the other from an Arkansas perspective?
Well, I haven't really considered it like that, Tommy, but I see where you're going. And the thing is this, if it's A&M, obviously Arkansas A&M recruiting a lot of the same guys in Texas. Arkansas has got a real good deal going in Kansas right now. I mean, their pipeline to the Kansas City area has really fueled some of their best teams in recent years. So I think you'd say, well, if Tennessee won, that might be better for Arkansas. But if A&M wins it, think of this. Would that be the fifth champion from the SEC West? Ole Miss, Mississippi State, LSU, A&M, maybe just four, would have won it in the last, you know, since Mississippi State did in 2019. I think that's what it was. So it would be an unbelievable run for SEC West teams. And Arkansas should have really been the one that started that in 2018.
Speaking of the SEC West, it's basically going to conclude as of July 1st with Oklahoma and Texas officially joining the league. So we're basically about 2 weeks away. Tom, are people still going to look at the conference on the SEC West and East side, even though divisions aren't going to exist? Or do you think that's just kind of wither off into the wind?
That's a great question. I'll be writing football notes throughout the course of next year, and I'll probably do breakdowns on here's what the records are for the East teams and West teams. But then where do you slot Texas and Oklahoma? I don't know. I'll say this. I'm not fond of a one-division deal. I mean, talking to Houston Nutt about a totally separate subject probably last summer, he talked about how he doesn't like – he goes, if you have it broken down into divisions, you're still fighting for something. A team that has one loss or two losses could still be fighting for their division title.
Yep.
And as it is now, just one big conglomerate thrown against the wall, bunch of standings. And if you got three losses, you know, you're out of it. And I don't like it. I would have preferred four-team pods,
mm-hmm.
no matter what it meant, how you declared champions or how you set up the conference championship game. I would have preferred 4 14 pods for the course of the season than I would have all in one deal. I don't like it at all. What dictates it? Money, whatever. I don't know what dictates it, but I don't like it, and I'm a grumpy man complaining to the wind.
Is this experimental? I mean, do they look at this for a couple years, not just in football, but the other sports as well? If it's not working, they say, you know what? We're going to try this a different way. Could you see them changing things up 5 years down the road, Tom?
Oh, I certainly could. The changes are happening in college athletics so fast. The NIL, how they're going to distribute all this money, and don't even get me going on lawsuits and money and such. But, I think they could. If the coaches and the ADs see that their fans get turned off halfway through a season at some of the schools, and what do we do to spice things up, go back to divisions or go into pods, I don't see why they wouldn't consider that. They haven't been married to certain other things over the years, and maybe not this season.
Speaking, Tom Murphy with us here on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Speaking of lawsuits, Les Miles is suing LSU. They vacated 37 wins that will hold him out from a threshold of winning percentage and getting into the College Football Hall of Fame. Question is, Tom, does Les Miles belong in the College Football Hall of Fame?
Well, I read up on that yesterday, and my overarching view is I think he does. He's an iconic figure, chewing on grass on the sideline, and bizarre decisions. Just a clip of his press conference highlights would be a nice a nice display at the College Football Hall of Fame. He's saying that LSU gave him no chance, no voice. They just declared the victories null. And what was it, 35 or 37 games? Ironically, if he hadn't coached at Kansas, he would still be above the 600 win plateau. So he couldn't get that thing turned around with Jeff Long as the AD. I think he does. And yeah, you're talking about lawsuits. You're talking about they made this decision. Well, I'm not going to get into it, but no, I think he and Mike Leach both will eventually, I hope, wind up in the Hall of Fame.
My only point with Les Miles is obviously you saw Saban win a title there, and he goes well beyond LSU. But you also saw not just Miles, but Ed Orgeron win a title there. And I believe Brian Kelly will win a title there at some point. I don't want to take away anything LSU does, but their program is the overshadowing power there because of the recruiting grounds and because of their long-term success. I don't know how much of that I pin on Les Miles based on some of the things you said, but that he was the straw that stirred the drink. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. If Ed Orgeron can engineer a national title, that says a lot about the strength of your program, the foundation of your program.
Yeah, I don't argue your point. And if Nick Saban had been at LSU for the years that Les Miles was, he could have won two more, right?
Oh,
at least.
Been John Wooden level of titles.
Could have been. Yeah. But I'll say this for Les Miles. He's a character. He won at Oklahoma State. I think he'd had two wins over Oklahoma when they were rolling with Bob Stoops. And so it's borderline. But for the vacant wins, to deny him the chance is what I'm not happy about. The vacated wins when seemingly decisions are made at whims to do something like that. And I think he should be granted what his career record is over 60%.
Yeah, I think on the field should count more than, vacated. I think maybe vacated wins should be set aside. What happened on the field should count, but then there's no incentive to follow the rules, but I'm not sure what rules mean anymore. But I do like the idea of having thresholds, because then it just keeps everything from devolving into a popularity contest.
Hey, agreed. But the vacated wins were because the family of Vidal Alexander, right? So
yes.
The money and but that would all be basically legal right now. So the rules have changed since then. So why can't the vacated victories go back to him? That's the question.
Tom, we'll leave it there, man. Appreciate the stuff you gave us as always this morning. We'll chat again on Thursday, okay?
You betcha. See ya.
All right, Tom Murphy with us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. That's where all of our guests join us. Get your best deal at McLartyDaniel.com. I mean, can you tell the story of college football without Les Miles? Probably. You probably can, but that doesn't, I think he's borderline. If he's in, I'm fine with it. If he's out, I'm fine with it. He is not, that's not a hill anyone should be willing to die on for the Hall of Fame, that you got to have Les Miles in there.
I will go to bat for Mike Leach entering the college football thing from a waiver standpoint because he changed the game itself. Les Miles, while he was entertaining, he ate grass, as you talked about, and is a popular name, did not have the same impact on the game itself than Mike Leach did. I think there are two separate conversations.
I agree.
I think one, with the exception of literally that winning percentage that he is oh so close to getting, I think he's a shoo-in, basically. Doesn't sound like there's going to be a waiver. Hope that's wrong. Miles, though, again, I'm not going to petition and sit outside of Atlanta, Georgia, in the College Football Hall saying this guy deserves to be in. That's just, I think they're, it's two different conversations. Either way, they are good, not, wouldn't say just incredible college football. But you mentioned LSU. Mike Leach won in Lubbock, Texas, Pullman, Washington, and even a little bit in Starkville, Mississippi.
Yep.
It's a little difference from winning in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where talent just is not even like 2 miles from your campus.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.